Good morning. I know I usually don't use this. Chris is really good at it, but I'm going to try this morning. I wanted to share a few things with you, a few photographs and pictures that I had about the lesson this morning. Now, the guys are, young men are passing out some sheets, and we'll get to those in a few minutes. What I want you to do with those, really simple, but share some of that with you in just a minute. Open your Bible up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. And Paul is writing to maybe his favorite place, his favorite city at least, is a congregation of the Lord's body that he has a really, really great relationship with. And he loves these people, and he's reflecting on their relationship together. And here he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And I think about Paul, and I think about his life and all the things that he's gone through. And I think of him, and at several weeks, actually it's been a few months ago, back in March, there is a man in the city who has this little spot on the radio stations. And he calls it something to think about. And he gives a little 30-second or a minute-long thought about something going on in life or something he's experienced in life. And all the time when I hear him talking, I jot down notes a lot of time. I think, man, that is really powerful. And he said something like, I believe it was back in March, and I wrote this down. I was thinking about it, and so I want to share with you this morning. And he's talking about life. And he was talking about how beautiful life is and how many times in our life, while we're going through this life, we don't realize just how beautiful life really is. And he said he and a friend were going and they were walking out on a pier to this restaurant, and he looked out and he saw this sunset and he said, wow, how amazing, how beautiful this sunset is. And he and his friend discussed it for a moment and he said, you know, the really sad thing is too many times in our life when we're around such beautiful things, we don't stop and enjoy them. We walk right past the most beautiful things in this world and we don't even realize that they're there. As he was talking about that, I thought, boy, how true that is. What a wonderful and beautiful life God has in store for us. And too many times we walk past it and we don't see the things that He has in store for us. We don't experience the things that He wants us to experience. And we think that this world is just really a bad place and we're just waiting to get through this world so that we can get on to heaven and where all the things are going to be perfect. And I'm going to tell you, that's not really what God wants for us. When we're here, God wants us to have a good life. Now, don't think about what some of the preachers on TV are teaching about a good life. I'm not talking about God wants us to be rich and wealthy and have mansions and drive fancy cars and do all. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's what the world is saying is a good life. That's what a beautiful life is all about. When you have all of these things, that's not what God wants for us. Now, it's not wrong if we have some things, but that's not what life is really all about. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, life is what you make of it? when life gives us lemons, what do? Yeah, some of you were already thinking that, weren't you? How many other phrases like that do we think about in our life? There's all these negative things in this world, and we've got to do the best we can with what we have. And we're kind of relegated almost to the cards that life has dealt us. And life can only be as good as I make it. Sad thing is, too many times in our life we believe that. We believe that we've got to keep striving and we've got to work and we've got to go all day long every day and try to accumulate all the things that we can. We've got to work really hard at being happy. We've got to work really hard at all of these things. When in reality, it's not up to us to make it at all. How sad it is when we forget to stop and look at just how beautiful the life is that God has given us. When you hear the word beautiful, what do you think of? I think of sunsets sometimes. I'm going to show you a picture of a couple. And I think about if any of you ever been out into the western part of the state and spent any time out there, the sunsets in the western part of Oklahoma are completely different than they are here. I don't know what it is, and maybe it has to do with there's so much cultivated land, and a lot of times it's real dusty out there. The wind blows a lot, and when that dust gets into the atmosphere, it changes colors, and the sunsets are a lot redder out there. And they are just absolutely breathtaking. And how many times are people around those things and they ignore them and they don't see them? Or maybe you've been at a lake before on those rare, rare occasions when the water is completely and perfectly still, where you can look at it and see your reflection just like a mirror. And I know this last year I had an opportunity, and I think I've mentioned it. I was sitting out on the dock way out onto the lake all by myself at about 11 o'clock at night or midnight, something like that. And the moon was up and it was full and it was shining across the water and it was absolutely beautiful. And then all of a sudden, just the slightest little breeze came along and made those little tiny ripples on the water. And it looked like it changed into thousands of little diamonds all across, just shining. And I thought, wow. How beautiful. God did that. I can't help but think God did it for me that night. Let me be there and see the things that He has in store for me. If we want to understand how to have and how to enjoy and how to embrace the life that God has for us, there's some things we need to do. That's what I want to share with you real quickly. Three small things that we need to do to enjoy, to grasp, to embrace this life. The first one is this. We've got to look at it. How many things are around us that we ignore every day? How many of you know what this picture is? If you're from Oklahoma, you've at least heard it. It's a quail, bobwhite quail. Beautiful if you listen to them. And you look at them, they're wonderful, and you watch them run along the ground, and you see them, and sometimes people have fed them and get them up in their yards, and they're a beautiful bird. And I always say this wrong. Scissor-tailed flycatcher. Our state bird. They're beautiful, aren't they? Have you watched them fly? Have you really just stopped at some time in your life and watched them? They could be flying along and instantly turn and do 180 degrees and go the other direction. They are absolutely amazing at how God created them. And the colors just are beautiful. How many birds are there in this state that you watch? Any of you ever watch birds? I think it's one of my the things I enjoy the most when I'm in the fall when I'm hunting is the cardinals. It's like all of a sudden all the cardinals show up and they're everywhere. And I've had as many as 10 or 12 of them around me at one time. And I look at them and man, they're absolutely beautiful. How about a puppy? My favorite kind of dog, a Rottweiler. I think they're the prettiest dogs there are. Especially when they're puppies. How lovable they are and adorable. And you can't help but love the energy that they have and the love and the devotion. And how many of us have learned something, some life lesson from one of our pets? If you've had one for very long, you have. And just to look at them and it's just amazing. Of all the wonderful things, in, even in the animal kingdom that God has given us. But then you look at some of the sunsets, and I really wish that these were photographs that I could hand out so you could actually see all of the colors, because it doesn't do quite justice. But this is one of the lakes, and I forgot where I got this picture, but it's one of our lakes in Oklahoma. This is out in the western part of the state, again, right after a storm had gone through. And if you were able to see it, you just see all the reds and the blues and all the different colors that God created for us to see. And how many times do we not see those things? How many times do we not stop and drink in all of the beauty that God has created and given to us? Or maybe some of you who are gardeners and you see, you raise flowers. Or you're walking along a path and you see them, or you're driving down the road. My favorite color. That's why I picked these pictures out. But I look at these flowers, something so simple, and I don't know, many of you could probably tell me immediately what flowers these are and all of that. I don't know what kind of flowers they are, but I just look at them and I think of all the different shades, that just infinite different colors, and think God spoke that into existence. Why did He do that? Did He do it just to show how powerful He was? Did He do it just to go, yeah, I can do this, watch what I can do? No, He did it for us. He did it so that we would stop and we would enjoy the world that He created for you and for me, and that we would realize who He is and how powerful and awesome He is. We've got to learn to stop and start looking at life. Some of you enjoy the oceans. The beaches and watching the waves come in. I'm more of a mountains and the lakes kind of person, but I love being up in Colorado and different places like this, Canada, and seeing this and enjoying it. And I don't even know where I just found this picture on the internet, but I would love to go there someday and look at this. Look at the water, how crystal clear. Pictures. That so many times we walk by and we don't even look at. This is at the camp at Quartz Mountain. Some people think it's ugly there because it's so dry and there's not a whole lot of green around and it's wrong. But it's a beautiful, beautiful place. God has given us so many places to enjoy, to just stop and look at. And I think it's what He challenges with all the colors and all the different topographies around the world. He says, I want you to just stop and I want you to look and I want you to enjoy the things that I've given you and I've blessed you with in your life. But He's also given us friends and family. And when we see our friends and our family at retreats and things, and I didn't ask Don or Ginger if I could put this picture up, but when we're sitting at our winter retreat, and we're talking and we're sharing with each other, and you step back and maybe later on, like I look back at these pictures and I think the friendships that I've made since I've been here and how much God has blessed me and how many times do I really stop and look at and realize how important those friendships are, that they are part of this life that God wants me to be a part of, that He wants me to realize and embrace while I'm here. Big group of people that were at that retreat. And then I think this last picture. Just a while back, when Preston and I, one day we went fishing, and yes, he caught almost all of those, and then some, by himself. But I look and I think how busy we get, and sometimes we can't stop and enjoy a little farm pond and enjoy the life that God has given us. How many times do we stop and not see the things that God has given us? How many times do we not just take a time out and stop and go, God, wow, look at what we've been blessed with in this life. Those papers I handed you, I want to challenge you to do something real quickly. There's three things. The first one, name three things. Just take a second and write something down. Write three things down that you should see, but too many times you don't. Are there things that you drive by every day and don't look at? Are there things that God has put in your life that you don't stop and take time to enjoy? I truly believe that this is one of the greatest hindrances in our relationship with God. So we don't take time to stop and look at the things God has created. And when we don't stop and look at the things He's created for us, we don't think about Him. We don't think about how He's revealing Himself to us in so many ways. And it's God who created all of these things for us. Number one, we've got to look. Don't let all those things pass by. Don't wait until it's too late. Enjoy it right now. Look around you. The second thing this morning, if we want to embrace the life that God has for us, the second thing we've got to do is we've got to count the blessings that are in our life. How many times have we sang that song, Count Your Blessings? Now, I don't even know if it's in our new songbook. But we've sang that song so many times. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. How many times have you stopped really, truly, seriously? How many times in your life have you stopped and written out the blessings in your life? And if you were right now to stop and have two different notebooks out, and you lay both of those notebooks down, and one of them you said blessings, and then you started filling out all the blessings in your life, and you're writing those things out one after another, and then you grabbed another sheet, which is what we spend most of our time doing, about those things that we don't have, that we're striving for, that we're working towards, we're trying to attain, we're trying to get in our life, whatever those things are, and you start writing all of those things out, how would those two lists compare? Which one would be the longest? I can't help but think that the list of blessings would be so much greater than the list of don't-haves. I think it would shock us. I think that we would probably be embarrassed about how much time we spend on what we don't have or what we want rather than looking at the blessings that we have in our life. How many blessings? Cecil, how many blessings have you had in your life? Huh? Lots of them. Is there anyone here who hasn't been blessed in your life? Is there anyone here this morning that doesn't have blessings in your life? How many blessings do you have in your life that you don't think about every day? Does anybody have any blessings that you don't think about? I'll raise both of my hands. I have been blessed with so many things in my life. And probably the majority of them I've never even consciously thought about what a blessing they are. Well, if we want to have this life, this beautiful life, this life that we can embrace, this life that even Paul had. And he's talking about, you hear him talking to the Philippians, and he said, you know, I've learned to be content wherever I am, whether I have a whole lot or whether I have nothing at all, whether I am eating really well or I'm going hungry, whether I have lots of people around me or no one around me, wherever I am, whatever circumstance is going on in my life, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be happy. I've learned to embrace the life that God has blessed me with. How many times can we say that in our own life? Man, I have all the blessings that I have. I think Paul a lot of times he would stop and he would literally count his blessings. I know he does because a lot of his letters, he talks to the people and he tells them what a blessing they've been in his life. Right in this letter, at the beginning, what did he say? I thank my God for all my remembrance of you. He talks about their relationship. He knows that this church has been a blessing to him. And he knows it and he has written it, literally written it down, all of the blessings. That sheet again. I want you to write down three blessings. Singular, individual, very specific blessings in your life. Not like the blessing of the church, because it's a blessing. But write something down about somebody or something that's in your life that is a great blessing to you. Too often we get caught up in what we don't have and forget what blessings we do have. Second thing, we've got to realize all the blessings in our life. If we want to enjoy that life that God has for us, we've got to look around us and we've got to count our blessings. The third thing, final thing, if we want to have this life that God has intended for us, we've got to remember to give thanks. There are all kinds of things that we have to give thanks for. Our daily life. The Lord was talking to His disciples when they asked Him, to, Lord, teach us to pray. And what did He say? Give us this day our daily bread. It's about every day. It's about looking at our life. And He's saying, you know, we don't need... It's not about asking God to bless our food. Now, I know we say that a lot. And we say, when you pray, remember to bless the food. And we gather around our dinner table, we say, let's bless the food. And we're not really blessing the food. God has already blessed the food. God created this world to bring forth wheat and squash and watermelons and all of these things that we enjoy. God has already blessed those things. Whether we're His child or not, it's the same nutrients and all those things are in it. But what He is saying is, let's acknowledge that God is the one who created them. God is the one who gave us all of those things. And they would not be here. We would not be enjoying them if God did not create them. It's about dailiness. It's about praising Him. The sacrificial system. We're starting to talk a little bit about it in the youth group, in our class on Sunday morning. Why did they give their first fruits? Why did they offer those as sacrifice to God? Because they know where they came from. God, You've given them to us. You've given us our crops. We want to praise You for that. There are so many things we have to be thankful for and just our daily life. How about our senses? That's something I was thinking about. Just touching things or hearing things or seeing things or tasting things or smelling things. When was the last time that you said, God, thank You for letting me see the smile on my children's face? The joy in people's lives for seeing the purple and yellow flowers along the side of the road. God, thank You for giving me the ability to smell those wonderful smells. We've gathered around a communion table that we do every Sunday morning. And I think this is the greatest form of thanksgiving that we have. We are who we are. We have the life that we have because Jesus Christ willingly gave Himself for us. And we gather around this every Sunday morning and we're supposed to be in our minds, we are thanking God, we're thanking Jesus Christ for giving Himself for us so that we can have the life that we have, so that we can enjoy and we can realize all of these beautiful things in this life are for us. All the blessings have been given to us so that we can realize all of those things. We give our thanks. How many people do you think, when they were standing around the cross watching Christ die, were looking at that and going, wow, How beautiful. Not a one of them. It was dark, and it was ugly, and it was hurtful. But God was giving us the best that He had to give. He was giving us the most beautiful picture that we could ever possibly hope to imagine. He's given us His Son. How many people do you have in your life to be thankful for? The last thing on that paper I'd challenge you to do is to write three names down. Three people. And it should be really easy. And I don't mean the number one most important person and the number two. Just three people that you're thankful for. And I'm going to ask you this. When you write those names down, when was the last time you thanked God for having those people in your life? One more challenge. This is the extra credit part of it for you. Sometime this week, why don't you let that person know that you're thankful for them? Phone call? Maybe just a little note. Maybe just giving them a hug and saying, I am so thankful you're in my life. Do you have at least three people in your life you're thankful for? Now, what I'm not trying to do this morning is give you a piece of paper that you could do a little exercise on and get rid of. But I really, truly believe that if we will do these things every day of our life, we'll start embracing the life that God has for us. We'll be able to be a lot like Paul when he says it doesn't matter what's going on, because I can promise you there are going to be a lot of bad things go on in your life. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to hurt you. There are going to be a lot of hurtful things go on in your life. I'm not telling you that everything is going to be perfect and this world is going to be painless, because I know that it's not. And you know that it's not going to be that. But when we can finally embrace what God has for us, we'll learn to be happy where we are, knowing with absolute certainty that it's not going to be long before God is going to welcome us home. And now we're going to have everything perfect. If you don't see, and if you don't choose to count your blessings, it's going to be impossible to be thankful for what God has given us. As we close this morning, I ask you, when was the last time that you left your home in the morning? When was the last time you got up early in the morning and you left, and you, as you were leaving your home, you had the specific thought of seeing and counting the blessings, or seeing the blessings that you have in your life with a very specific intention of later being able to say, God, thank you for letting me see and realize all the blessings in my life. We need to be people that are intentional if we want to enjoy the life God has for us. Life is beautiful because God created it to be that way. What kind of life are you living? Or maybe better, how beautiful is your life? God created it. God created this world for us to enjoy while we're here. God has blessed us with all the blessings that He has to offer, and they're numerous, and they're great. When is the last time you looked at them, and you counted those blessings, and you stopped and said, God, thank you? God has given us the best that He has to offer. And you will choose this morning to embrace the life God has for you, or you'll walk through those doors and walk back into your life, wandering aimlessly around, trying to find what's really important. God has told us. He's given it to us. He's given us the most perfect and beautiful life that we could ever possibly imagine. That was Solomon's life. At the end, he said, all of that doesn't even matter What matters is this relationship, the things that God has given me. When you leave here this morning, what kind of life will you leave with? Will you embrace the life that God has for you? You can't do that unless you're a child of God. You can't even begin that walk unless you are His child. You are His heir. And He offers that to all of us. He's offered His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can have that life right now. You don't have to leave without it. God offers it to you for free. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Be immersed into Him, into His possession. Clothe ourselves with Him. And start that life. If you need to do that this morning, if you need to begin your walk with Him, we can do that with you right now. If there's something else that we can do for you, if we can pray for you, we would love to stop right now and pray with you, for you. If there's anything else we can do, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning in a public way, we'd ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together.